Tori and Realty, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on short notice, by the way, which I appreciate. So you're in the real estate game. I want you to just, before we talk about real estate, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your background, and what makes you you.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I've been in the real estate game about 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
Prior to real estate, the last 11 years, I was in the insurance industry. So doing auto claims and bodily injury claims. And even in that industry, I've held many different titles, but the last couple years, I was a manager, a trainer and developer, coaching for the department. So I definitely have that that capability that I brought over into the real estate industry. Mm-hmm. Because even though I've been here a couple years, I've like to think I've made a few waves in the ocean, especially just with the education and getting your license these days with the Humber program. It's so much different than what it was before. Mm-hmm. So I knew as I was coming into the industry, I really made a focus on helping others come into it as well. And so right from my first year, I was doing training and coaching and mentoring with people getting their license and then new agents getting started in the industry.
How many people are you mentoring right now?
It honestly changes from week to week.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, with my real estate brokerage I've joined, there's 7 people who have joined under me. So those people I'm constantly mentoring and helping to grow. But overall, I get messages quite often during the week.
So. But it seems like you enjoy it.
I do.
You look like like you love teaching.
Yeah.
Like when I really walk into your open house, you're like first thing for your when you're putting your parent your mom's place on. But one thing you did was took us and learned a lot. And the way you were just carrying yourself, it's like you love sharing your information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me where that comes from.
You know what? Being in my previous industry, a lot of things were cutthroat. Similar to the real estate industry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know what it's like to join a new industry and literally not know what to do, not know where to go, especially the Humber program gives us a lot of material, but not nearly as much as we need what's in the field. So even after you get your certificate, you're still like day one, what do I do?
Right.
So I was really fortunate in finding a good environment. When I first got licensed, I joined a team. And in particularly, my mentor, Stacey Prier, she was so good at being there every step of the way. And I just appreciated that so much. I wanted to share that with other people as well.
Right.
Because I think my success, I was able to do so much success within these last 3 years because of that foundation and that help that I had. Mm-hmm. So even my first year, I was able to break 6 figures coming into the real estate industry.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And then year number two, I doubled that.
Wow.
And so I just continue to grow because I can appreciate just the different mentorship and atmosphere that you have. And I continually am sharing that with other newer agents or even seasoned agents. But in that dynamic, I'm also growing my business because I'm doing more deals with other people because I'm helping them to grow, and then it's helping my business.
Well, it's worth noting that your brokerage allows that. I believe it's a team oriented. You know, the more you can help others, the more reward you get to yourself. So, I believe it's EXP. Can you talk about that business model? Because I find it very interested and something I'm looking into adopt in my brokerage as well, and my mortgage brokerage.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to find out and learn more about that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So EXP, so before I chose to join EXP, I interviewed 6 different brokerages.
Right.
So I really wanted to know the difference between doing a small boutique or a high-level brokerage. EXP, I found, was the perfect middle ground for me. Mm. I tell everybody it's not for everybody, especially the main thing is they're a cloud-based brokerage. So they don't have any physical locations, physical offices and things to go to. Everything is virtual. So their office is a virtual office online. And it's kind of, people relate it to The Sims. So it's kind of like The Sims. You create your little character. You can make it look just like you.
Yeah.
And then you walk around. But it's great because it's the whole company. People from South Africa, people from India, all these different countries that the brokerage is in, you can meet people right there and go have a cup of tea. And you
it's
can
like
go
a metaverse?
Do network. Yeah, exactly. And so it's a great potential. So with me, especially during the time of COVID, everything was virtual already. They already had it down pat.
Wow.
So many other locations and brokerages had to close down. They didn't know how to do their training and development. They couldn't take on new people. Whereas EXP was just a regular day.
Another day of business.
Yeah.
So your reach is international.
International.
Virtually like our arm's length are international, and you can be connected anywhere really, right?
Absolutely.
So if you have one client looking to maybe buy in, you know, in the States or even within Canada, you have that reach to take care of them?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing a lot of agents do reach out to me for, saying, hey, Tori, do you know an agent in this province or in this country or this state? Because I can easily, we have a platform called Workplace. Mm-hmm. So it's like Facebook. It looks like Facebook, but it's just for all EXP agents. And you can go on there. I can search any city and I can let you know if we have agents in there. I can send them a message and get you connected in 10 minutes.
Wow. And so you were comfortable with that because this version of brokerage, because were you always independent or has that maybe from doing insurance and being an independent, were you an independent insurance agent at that point?
I was both.
Yeah.
When I first started off, I was independent, but as I did more management positions, I was always team oriented.
Yeah.
So me particularly, I can be flexible. Towards the end of my my insurance career, I was doing bodily injury. So that was more independent.
Gotcha.
As well. So I got to work from home 2 or 3 days a week, depending on what the claims load was like at that time.
Right. And so what sort of experience did you bring over from being in the insurance business and now being in the real estate business? You're still dealing with people. So how have you capitalized on your experience there?
Best thing is communication. I'm told I do really well at
communication. You do.
So
we did the webinar and you kicked ass.
We had really a good time there.
Yeah.
So yeah, the main thing being in that industry for so long and it being a phone based industry, I've spoken to thousands of people.
Right.
I've dealt with the happiest clients. I've dealt with the rudest ones. But I've always been consistent in just saying, you know what, this is a scenario. They're mad because this is what they're going through. I'm supposed to be here to provide this kind of coverage or this kind of service. So
yeah.
I just learned not to take things personally.
Yeah.
I find anytime there's a misunderstanding, it's to get it resolved, we just have to communicate.
Yeah.
So either share knowledge, share awareness.
And then dealing it face on instead of just prolonging it. And people
are
second guessing what one is thinking the other.
Exactly.
And becoming a bigger deal than it is. That's one thing I've picked up on. If there's an issue with a transaction or a client,
mm-hmm.
you don't face on, it's just going to be a bad situation at the end.
Don't push it under the rug.
No, exactly.
Just deal with it. Yeah.
So, you know, one of your slogans is building long lasting relationships.
Absolutely.
How do we do that?
So one of the things I focus on is even with my clients or helping mentoring realtors, I don't just look to do a transaction.
Mm.
I look to help them wholeheartedly.
Mm.
And to be honest, it's the slogan a lot of realtors have. A lot of realtors will say that, but I find the difference is when you're living it.
Yeah.
So like with me, especially with my own clients, I like to be a one-stop shop. So anything that they need, just in life in general, I say reach out. I can probably assist you and help connect you one way or the other. And then staying in touch is very important, that when the transaction is done, that's not when the relationship is done.
Yeah.
Because how you build those lasting relationships is you keep consistency. So I have different triggers in my schedule, in my calendar. I'll set client anniversary. I use different subscription services like Send Out Cards, who I just put it in once and they will automatically send out letters and things to clients on my behalf for me for their birthdays, for their anniversaries, for different occasions and things like that. So
how many professionals are aware that is one of the most important key aspects of their business?
The thing is, I think most people are aware, but not nearly as many people are willing to
admit,
follow through
or diligent, be diligent and focused in that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is so interesting. Yeah. And probably from doing that, you probably produce more business just off of referrals that way, right?
That's
just
where most of my
communication.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned being one-stop shop. The one-stop shop Are you then becoming the go-to person for any issues that your clients have? So does that mean that you're aligning with other professionals in your industry as well and making sure that you're building relationships with your colleagues as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I like to have basically a vendor list.
Right.
So you have your preferred professionals for each industry. And then, like, I use another service called MoveSnap. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're great. They're a concierge service. So once a client moves into a new city, they also reach out to the client saying, hey, do you need help finding daycares? Do you need help finding a local gym? Do you need help finding, I don't know, whatever they may need in their lifestyle?
Right.
So just having those kind of platforms in place to give your client the whole service.
Did you give that service treatment to your mom that just moved to Thunder Bay? Did you?
I didn't with her because I've been handling her personally and everything. So she's getting the Tory touch.
Yeah.
But exactly, things like that. When people are relocating to
a
whole city 14 hours away, they're not going to know too much of what to do in the area.
Right. And what do you think the state of your real estate is right now as we speak, 2023, March?
I see it as exciting.
Yeah.
I see there's a lot of change coming.
Yeah.
Things have been very up and down and wonky the last couple years, especially the last like 6 to 8 months too, with these interest rate spikes and everything like that. But even while the interest rates are going up these crazy amounts, when people ask me how is the real estate industry, I say it's doing great because I think it's all about your perspective. Yes, there's not nearly as many buyers on the market right now, buying typical first-time buyers, typical resale homes and things like that. But there's a lot of investors out there.
Right.
So I've even found a way to shift my business to focus on those people who are more active in that kind of market.
Right.
So real estate, I think, is one of the best ways to invest your money. It's 100%. Been one of the most traditional, timeless ways. And I think it will continue to be that. And just in Canada in general, because I hear people saying, oh, is the market going to crash? Are we going into recession? We are in a recession and things like that. I think perspective takes a big toll because with how many rules and regulations we have in Canada, I think things are different from what happens in the States.
Right.
So it does happen on two different levels. But even that being said, just because home sales have gone down 20%, doesn't mean that they're not going to go up another 20% by the end of the year.
Right.
So from what we hear, things are starting to stabilize now. And even just within the last week since the last announcement, I've been getting more inquiries of people looking to just last night, people saying, oh, you know what? Things are looking good. Is it going to be a good time to buy?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. As soon as the rate announcement held, I got calls left and right. Let's go. I'm like, you know what? I always say, though, like, just buy the house and refinance. You know, I think that you'll recover more if you buy the house and just refinance as opposed to waiting and waiting. And you can't recoup that. That's what happened. I think you made a great point in our webinar where can't recoup the equity loss as opposed to in comparison of refinancing, restructuring after you purchase the house.
Exactly.
So it's just, you know, understanding that sometimes might help. So you're moving more of your business to investment. Is this investment in multifamily or investment in pre-construction? What are you seeing now from an investor side?
To be honest, a bit of both.
Yeah.
So with me, myself, I'm deepening my training and my understanding in investment in general. So one of the things I'm doing is taking the in-agent training course.
Yeah.
So it just gets you a more thorough understanding of investor language, looking at cap numbers, looking at basically just making the numbers games.
Yeah.
Because that's what investing is all about.
Right.
So finding different lending options and things like that we've lightly touched on as well in the past.
Right.
So just seeing how to make better deals possible for financial. But then in the other pre-construction side as well, I'm even doing more collaboration and networking with developers. Mm. So even this one broker, Dave Eli, he has a elite class development project that
I saw
he does.
That.
Did you
I
see
saw
it?
That. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
I'm
so
gonna reach out to you.
He's doing some amazing
things. So he's
things.
A developer?
Yes.
Okay.
So
tell
he's
me
a
more.
Developer. Yeah. He's in the real estate side of things now too, running his own team.
Gotcha.
And so he does projects all over. He's in, going international now. He even some of his team members are doing development projects in Jamaica.
Wow.
Where they're gonna have these units up for sale. He's doing places all over. He has the most immediate one is gonna be done next year in Stouffville. Luxury townhomes.
And he's part of that project. He's doing that project.
He's the developer. So he's been a developer for years, and he's actually just getting his Tarion license
Awesome.
He's going to
really
be the
awesome.
Whole shebang. So just connecting myself with different people like that and learning, because real estate is such a vast industry. Yeah. There's so many different ways.
One thing I picked up on you is that you don't waste time. You don't waste time. Like, you know, reaching out to Trevor Luchuk at the agent, those guys, and getting that, you know, going. And I'm sure you reached out to this. Are these both initiative by you? Are they cold and like initiative? You went in after them? Was that introduced to you by somebody else? Because I want to talk about the initiative part, the go get it part, right?
So that is something I have made initiative for myself. I have been pushing myself to do that. And you know what? Dave actually just recommended this book to me. I just finished reading it.
Yeah.
The Power of One More. Amazing book. And it's funny because Dave is like, Tori, you should read this, but you're already doing it.
Yeah.
And so I've always just had that initiative of just taking one more step,
Ed
doing
Marlin,
one more
right?
thing.
Ed
yes,
Marlin,
yeah. exactly. Yeah. And so things like I went to an event in a real estate event with Collaboration Real Estate Collaborative in Kitchener, and just the simplest thing that one of the agents mentioned is that when you go to these events like this, first of all, bring your business cards, so you always have something to give out to people, but also grab people's business cards.
Yeah.
Just because we're all real estate agents doesn't mean we're all in competition, because I connected with about 6 or 7 agents who are all outside of my geographic location, which two of them actually said they have referrals for me in Hamilton. So, again, that's one way I've grown my business, is going out and doing these introductions.
Well, I think that's the new thing of collaboration over competition. I've been hearing that a lot. In our business,
probably
you know,
from
it's.
Me.
Yeah, I think it is. I think when I came out at your open house, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
It's new to me. It's really a competitive game. But tell me more how I could help myself buy into that, because I think it's working, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So I actually started this network called Collaboration Over Competition.
Okay.
And it's just straightforward. It's for any real estate agent or industry professional. It's not about any pitching or anything, because like with EXP, the brokerage I'm with, when people join under me, I do get certain benefits from those people making sales.
Right.
But we'll get onto that another topic, but it's like, I don't want any pressure to be there. I'm always have open doors for people to come and ask questions,
right.
Especially in the real estate industry. When you're writing up an offer at 11 o'clock at night, you don't know who to ask or where to go to. So I'm trying to set up this network for people to all come in and be open-minded and ask their questions. So at first it started off with me answering all the questions, but as I started inviting more industry professionals, I have now other agents that can be there to answer other questions when I'm not there as well.
Right.
So just the whole collaboration in general, like you said, in our industries, it's not very common. And so I'm just kind of trying to shift people's mindset, because there is more than enough business just not in Ontario alone for everybody to have a good amount. So just collaborating with different scenarios. I have agents. I was recently working with an agent who went on vacation for a whole month, and they asked me to take care of their clients while they're away. That's business I now gained from this person who I met one time at an Aurea real estate event last year. So it's just putting yourself out there. Any networking event I go to, I will force myself to walk around and meet new people.
Right.
So especially like when we go to these buzz conferences and these events, and there's different people that have booths set up. That's probably even how we met.
I think so,
right?
I
came up to your booth. Yeah. But I always make it apparent to go and say hi to people and just introduce myself. And you never know where things will
go. Where it goes for them. So you mentioned with the development with, you said David.
Yeah.
How involved do you want to get with that kind of business, revenue of business, or just business itself? Would you want to be the realtor that sells the pre-construction Is that something you're working towards too?
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking to dive right in.
I love that.
I love just gaining the new experiences. Just even starting off in real estate, I started focusing on first-time home buyers. Then I ended up dealing with a lot of people who were renting in condos and wanted to buy freehold homes. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of people just living in renting and then wanting to move into a condo purchase as their first property. Getting into the investment side of things, dealing a little bit even just with seniors, downsizing.
Right.
Getting into now development side of things and even international now. So some of the things I'm looking to get, EXP, they're having a summit next in May in Orlando. And one of the certifications I'm going to get is to be a relocation specialist and to be a specialist in dealing with foreclosures. So especially in the industry, those are becoming more apparent.
Right.
So being able to have that kind of certification that I know what the process is and I know how to deal with that, I can then now use that to expand my business.
Yeah.
Working with David now is a great opportunity because he's helping to mentor me and learning this whole new side of the production of real estate, literally from exactly.
Yeah.
And especially because last year I bought my first investment property that I completely gutted and flipped.
Right.
I got a taste of that and I loved it. And so that's also what drew me to be more connected with David and see how he does the ins and outs of things like that too.
Right.
And so, yeah, just learning to, maybe I'll eventually get my Tarion
Let's
license
go.
And become a developer. So
there's
you
no,
never know.
You should never put a ceiling on what you can do, I feel like, you know. I think learning constantly new skills, it just sharpens your own tools. And at the end of the day, the end user, whoever you're servicing, wins. And that's what it's all about. Tell me more about the relocation certification. That's interesting.
Yeah, so you know what? It opened up my eyes when I had this scenario with my mom.
Okay.
So her going from Hamilton up to Thunder Bay, which is 14 hours away. So with her particular move, it was an executive move for her company, so they had a whole relocation team in place. And so typically with that scenario with her selling her home, they would have had to use a realtor in their relocation company. But because she pushed and she says, no worries.
Yeah, go ahead.
So because she pushed and says, you know, I have my realtor who I want to use, I had that opportunity to now see that whole process of things from behind. Just with my mom personally doing the relocation 14 hours away, opened up my eyes to a lot of things that have to be in place when you're moving that far away, having the movers in place, having your job set up, your car, and just different things like that. And working with her her company that has a relocation specialist, they asked if I had my certification for that. And I'm like, I didn't even know that there was one. And I'm like, you know what? This is an area of opportunity now for me to go and see. And it's something that's great to have because just a month ago, I helped someone purchase a property who lives in Barrie. They purchased their first property out in Calgary. And just even from my YouTube channel, last year it was, I believe, in 2022, I had someone who saw some of my YouTube videos in Bahamas, and they moved here, and they saw my videos, and they reached out to me to help move here. I've had people in different provinces and things like that, same kind of scenario. So the business is out there, so I said I'd love to get better awareness and understanding and training for it, and then I can start to create different avenues. One thing I'd love to do is create checklists and different packages to summarize things and just make processes easier. So maybe I'm going to create a relocation checklist. When you're thinking about relocation, these are the things you have to consider.
And what are those some things? Like, say someone's coming from the Bahamas, for example, a lot of worry, a lot, if you don't know the area and everything else, what kind of service do you offer? Like, what do you do to help them?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm curious.
So it's something I'm going to get a better understanding of, but just very high level, why are you
high
even
level.
Coming here?
Yeah.
So what kind of status or citizenship, if you're going to have citizenship or if you're coming on a work permit or permanent residence, whatever it may be, even as of January 1st, different regulations have changed.
Correct.
So only people who have status in Canada can even purchase. So just helping people even get to that point, because I know some people who are different immigration lawyers or people who help people relocate to Canada for different education programs mm-hmm. and things like that. So just having access to those different venues
yes.
to be able to direct them, okay, this is where we need to do our next steps. So once we figure out what the why is, then figuring out the where mm-hmm. and the how. So what are some areas that you are okay with living in? And how are we going to get there? How are you going to get qualified? How are you going to sustain yourself? Maybe you're coming here for work, but when you're not working, what are the things you want to have access to? Do you want to be close to the water? Do you want to be close to a certain type of facility? So just, again, under building a relationship right. with them, getting to know the person personally, and then seeing how we can make their lifestyle
what a value add for something like that. Because usually when they come over, they're looking to relocate to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if there's an extra, because if you're a buyer agent, really, if you're a buyer, not really paying for the service, really.
Right. So, again, that would all depend. So,
right. Or is there a little bit of, because it's a kind of unique situation. And I think, you know, your time's important. So are you able to have some sort of, you know, consulting fee or something like that?
For sure. That yeah. can definitely be constructed.
Yeah.
But you would just want to have that commitment there. So definitely having the paperwork to go along with that, right. whether that be the buyer representation agreement, you right. can put whatever time frame you're you'd like for that, or having a separate contract and stating you'll help with these, this, and this service. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we'll be able to help them with that.
Amazing. And you talk about systems and processes, and which you enjoy, sounds like, tick sheet and everything. Do you have a system process for a buyer and investor or resell? And let's say, what is your common go-to on those three prospects? What is one thing you always do in the beginning? Starting that process.
So yes, I have processes for buyers, sellers, tenants, and landlords.
Okay.
I'm starting to develop my one for investors now as well. My typical first step is just having a discovery call. Mm-hmm. So speaking with the person, understanding what their intentions is, especially with the investor side of things, because it's so numbers heavy, it's just getting straight to the point.
Right.
Okay, this is what you want to do. What are you capable of doing, and considering those different factors, because with investors, there's so many different types. They could just want to purchase something and just have the money rolling in, or maybe they want to purchase something and put in sweat equity, mm-hmm. build it up right away, and then flip it. So it really, two very different streams, but just having that discovery call and seeing where they want to go will kind of help guide the rest of the way.
Right. So that discovery call is important, and it's much like my business as well.
Exactly. I mean,
like, also, always understanding not every client is the best fit for you as well, because especially listing agents, if you have a price in mind and it's out to lunch,
yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be a not all the time, but it's going to be a difficult situation to be. So, how do you navigate that conversation? When somebody feels like, hey, my home is priced at this much, but the reality is not.
So there's two different perspectives I deal with that, in the buying side and the selling side.
Oh, the buying side, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
a lot of
because
time,
they can't afford. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the more common
See,
one.
That's, you're good. You're really
so,
good.
Yeah. A lot of times they're like, I want 3-bedroom. Like, I just dealt this with a client. They had a budget of, let's say, $900. They wanted a 3-bedroom detached home. It had to have an ensuite. It had to have a basement for income potential. Has to have a garage and things like this. We were searching for probably about 2 months, and not finding things within their price range. Or there's just these little things that didn't meet their criteria, and so they weren't mm-hmm. able to go to the next step. And at a certain point, it's like, okay, we have to revisit, because this, what you want, is not realistic. It's not happening right now, whether it be the market or the location or just what their needs are. So what I like to do is have frequent touch points. The discovery call uh-huh. is not just one call.
Right.
Sometimes I'll have to have that after 2 weeks, after a month, after 3 days with a client. So it happens in stages, but that's the buying side of things, where what they want is maybe just not in their price point. And then, like you said, with the selling side of things, how I would handle that is if the seller, let's say they want $1 million for their home, but their home, the market is saying it's probably closer to 800.
Right.
Then I just say we can choose a different marketing strategy. So we can price it at the price that you want. And basically anyone who's interested and say we've priced it at what the seller wants, there's not much negotiation. Or you can do the avenue where you price it under its market value, attract more attention, and then see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'm not a fan of underpricing a home like $200,000, $300,000
There's going to be a lot of people disappointed.
It's just, I've been on both sides and it's not fun.
Yeah.
So underpricing it, I think, is a great strategy, but at a reasonable amount.
Right. And you have no control over that because some strategies are popular for some professionals and some strategies are not. So it's like, you know, it makes your job a lot harder at some point. Is there, I guess, a code that realtors kind of follow with one another to be on the same page?
No, unfortunately.
Well, it's kind of difficult because you have a client, you know, that you have to service. No, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what I do is typically before I put in any offer on a property, I always call the listing agent and have that conversation. So that's a way that I have found that works for me too.
Very smart. Yeah.
Networking, building up that relationship. That way when the offer comes in, that's not the first time they're seeing my name.
Right.
They already put a voice and a sound and an experience to it. So I always ask the listing agent kind of like, what are your seller's expectations? Or I'll say, is it priced at what the seller is expecting? Or did you price it to get more attention? And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, no, we priced it under $150,000 because we just wanted to get a bidding war.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So,
but I think that's healthy.
It is.
It's healthy.
More people should be doing it.
Yeah. 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 They're transparent like that. And just kind of, you know, then you move along. You know?
And it's different for every scenario because I'll get the agents where they'll be like, well, if you do your research, you'll see. And it's like,
oh my goodness.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to do the research anyways, but I was just trying to build rapport.
Build rapport and, you know, we don't want to waste your time as well as on our time.
That's the thing.
It's good business, I feel.
And they're like, just put in an offer. And I'm like, well, why would I put in an offer if I know you're not going to?
That's right.
Like, it's a difference if they say, like, you know what, let's negotiate. Let's see what we can make it work. Because sometimes it's not just about the price point.
Yeah.
Sometimes the seller's really motivated because they've already purchased a property and they have a certain date. So
you're not just only managing, you're managing emotions as well.
Very much.
And I think you guys do a wonderful job at that. I'll tell you that. I'll give you guys a shout out. You guys manage really. Because, you know, I've dealt with real estate agents in the past for my personal purchases. And, man, and, like, it's, you know, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
How do you guys get good at that? Is it taught through Humber?
Absolutely.
No.
No.
Right?
Nope. Okay. No, absolutely not.
How do you come up with that?
It depends on the person and their personality. Yeah. I don't want to be stereotypical, but I find that typically a lot more seasoned agents that are more traditional in their style, they just kind of have their set ways. This is what it is. That's what they're used to.
Right.
So the emotion part isn't always there as much because it's just another transaction for them.
Right.
Me personally, I always like to stay calm, even in the midst of a storm when things are going crazy, because if I start to freak out, then my clients are going to freak out, and it's going to be so much harder.
But that is your personality, though. I feel like.
That's what I'm told.
Knowing you for how long I know you, that is your personality. You can tell. You're not reactive. You kind of take in. You get your voice, your point across. But sometimes, if it's a couple... I'm making things interesting.
Yeah.
Who's the decision maker usually? Let's just come out with that. Is it the man or the woman? The woman.
With housing, I find it's the woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It basically comes down to her choice mostly.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, because
yes, dear.
Yeah, basically. So typically, and again, another stereotype, but typically the man will come and look at like the electrical panel, he'll look at the furnace, he'll look at the roof and kind of thing. And then the women's are like, okay, what about the flow? Is this going to work for us? Am I going to be able to do this and this? So it does all depend. I always get like opposites and different things like that too, but that's what I see.
So as far as solution based on your end, what are some problems that come up more often? Obviously, you know, there's the inspection and, you know, there's certain things, but what is pet peeve of buyers, let's say, for example, that comes up? Is it the bulb or the detector or the last minute?
So you know what? And I don't like to see it as a pet peeve because it's just, it's a new experience.
Right.
So in particularly, I find with first-time home buyers, anytime like with crown molding, after a couple of years, the house naturally settles and it's sealed at first and there'll be a little crack.
Okay, so can I just ask what that is?
It's just the settling of the home. So it's not a crack in the wall, but just where the crown molding is, where the roof, where the ceiling is here,
it'll
be a little bit lower.
Right.
And then they'll think like the whole foundation of the house is off, and then they'll have doubts. And it's like, you literally just go to Home Depot, buy a $4 tube of caulking and just reseal tape it off. It's real simple.
Yeah.
So that's something I see typical with home buyers. Recently, lighting has been a big thing. A lot of homes, especially the older ones, they'll have the yellow light bulbs. Like the soft yellow instead of the bright white, which is more modern and typical. Yeah. So they'll be like, oh my gosh, do we have to change out the electrical panel? And it's like, it's just a bulb.
It's just a bulb.
It's just a bulb. You can go and replace.
So staging when you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, you got style. I've seen your way how you stage.
I like to think so.
Yeah. Do you do your own, like, do you help your clients or do you just outsource that?
It all depends.
Yeah.
So I work with the client and what their budget is.
Gotcha.
It also depends on what kind of commission I'm charging. So if I'm charging a premium commission, I'll be including staging in there and I'll have a professional come through. If they don't have the budget for that, then I may have some pieces out of my own house that I just come and bring and put like just vibrant like yellows, like neons, different things to bring out some vibe in the room. Other than that, the biggest thing I tell people, just declutter, take out as much things as you can. It's better to have, I would say, too little and let people imagine than to have too much and people just can't even see what to do.
So I always tell people, like when I get ordering appraisals, it's like the first thing that lenders are going to look at is the condition of your property, if you're real estate. So I always say, stage it like you're going to sell it. And they get the point.
Yeah.
So decluttering, making your bed.
Yep.
Making your bed.
Closets are the worst because it's where you stuff everything.
Yeah.
But like, especially for appraisals, they're going to be looking in that. And even for showings, everybody looks in closets and kitchen cabinets to see, because they want to see what kind of storage they have. And then if they see, oh, this is really messy or it's just a complete sty, then they just start to wonder, is there other hidden things in the house and stuff?
And let's say if you are doing an open house, is there a do's and don'ts when it comes to professionals like myself? Like, what do I need to do?
Absolutely. I created a YouTube video on this with tips and tricks. But honestly,
like,
just
bring the whole family. Like,
the littlest thing, well, just like from doing hosting an open house, the littlest thing as put down all the toilet seats. Just something as simple as that. I actually have a client. She just has this phobia. She will not look at any pictures or enter any room if the toilet seat is up.
Oh wow.
So it's something that most people, it doesn't bother them, but then there's that one person who would actually be a great purchaser for this home, but because of this little thing, it's now thrown off their whole vibe for the house. So
and that's true. There's people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's people
out there like that because they've seen really bad scenarios. So there's times I talk to agents and they go and see a showing and there's a load in the toilet with the seat up.
Have mercy.
And
on
so
me, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
things oh gosh.
Come
yeah. There's
on.
Lots of stories to go over.
Seriously.
But in general, open houses have the toilet seats down and have good lighting.
Right.
Natural lighting. That actually I'm very surprised at the amount of people who want homes that have lighting in certain directions. Or just enough lighting, big enough windows and things like that.
What about
I don't know.
Pets?
Ooh, pets. Okay. Pets, yes, can be an issue.
It can be an issue,
but
right?
But the biggest thing is just try and minimize it as much as you can. So depending on what kind of pet you have, a lot of people have big dogs.
Yeah.
Obviously have them gone. Take them with you. Sometimes I have clients where they have pets, but they're gone during the day. So there's only certain times we can do showings so that they have time to go and take the dog out and things like that. So be mindful of your client's schedule and their lifestyle and find a way to work around
it. And I think that's understandable. I mean, they can be maneuvering away from dogs, you know, stepping on dogs and, you know, and being, you know, worried of that, you know. So that's good information, man.
Yeah, and even when you have pets, it is a big big inconvenience, whether you have pets or not, to have the house set up perfectly for each and every showing. But it's just part of the game.
Yeah.
Like you have your house up for sale. You're going to have some air fresheners ready. You're going to have some, the carpet powder thing ready to do last minute. You're going to have to try and keep the sink dishes clean and things like that.
What is one thing that people can do to improve their home with a very minimum budget? What is one thing that they can do?
When it's for sale?
For sale.
To improve their home, one thing. Call me.
I love it.
There's so many different things.
Just call Tori.
Call me and I'll give you a list of things. But that's one thing I like to do as well, because I know how it is selling your home and wanting to get the best price, but not wanting to have to spend all your money just to get the best price. So little things like air fresheners, but like my mom goes crazy with air fresheners, the plug-in ones, and they're like $7-$8 each. And when you get it for the whole house, the bill will add up.
Yeah.
But just little ones, just table ones, and you put it on a table, but you put it behind a plant where it can't be seen. So air fresheners, opening up windows, cleaning windows.
Paint, fresh paint. I felt like when I came in, everything was just done, it felt like.
It wasn't. It was painted a year ago you had seen it.
Yeah.
But what I had done is I took a magic erase marker and just went and wiped a few places where my daughter had her hands all over the wall and things like that. But doing a fresh coat of paint is a big thing that will be beneficial. But that's one of the things where the price can add up, depending on how much that you need to do. So it definitely is beneficial. So if you can do it yourself, amazing. Yeah. But you don't want to get it to the point where people can tell that you did it yourself.
I'm about to faint because I smell the paint.
I literally went to that yesterday. Yeah. The ad says freshly painted with Ben Moore. So like the good quality paint. And we got there and we're like, okay, first of all, it was just the main floor that was painted. Yeah. And then second of all, like you can see where it's just one coat, but they should have done the second coat. Nah, so.
Cheat.
Yeah.
You mentioned your daughter. I love how involved she is. She is so helpful. Tell me a little bit more about her watching mom
venture
this business for the last 3 years.
Yes. So little Naraya, she is 6, going on 16. I've just been trying to keep her more involved, especially with her being an only child. She's so much more involved in my life.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to build her awareness. Like when she says, Mommy, where do you go all the time? And I'm like, how do I describe this? So it's funny. Now it's the thing where I say, I'm going to see an empty house.
Right.
Because one time I brought her with me and she's like, oh, Mommy, the house is empty. And I'm like, well, yeah, I have to show people an empty house to see if they want to pay money and buy it. Mm. And so every time I go, she's like, Mommy, are you going to go see an empty house again? So, just...
Her favorite part is putting your sign up.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She loves that. Yeah. Or it's funny where if one time we're driving, she sees she sees my sign. She's like, Mommy, I see you. And things like that.
That's so good to her.
Yeah. And with my YouTube videos, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. My YouTube videos, she always... And I tell her, I'm like, Mommy's filming a video. Can you watch your TV? Stay in the living room. And something will come up, Mommy, I'm thirsty or something. And then she'll come in my videos and stuff. So.
That's awesome. That's cool that she can see that. Well, I just want to say, hey, thank you for coming on on B2B Podcast. It was a pleasure. I'd love to have you back again.
Absolutely.
Before we end it, though, how could people reach out to you? What's your handles? How do they get at Tori?
For sure. Yeah. So you can reach me by phone easily. My phone number is 289-814-TORI. Or you can send me an email, ToriandRealty@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, my realtor Tori, and then on YouTube as well, ToriandRealty. So
awesome.
If you type Tori Keeney in Google, you'll find me somewhere.
Excellent. Yeah. Call Tori.
I'll figure out the rest
call
for you.
Call Tori. That's right. Thanks
again. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure. And for sure we'll be back.
Awesome. Thank you.